Stan Collymore, and you're listening to the B2 Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the 70s Shoe Show. I'm Nick Davey, your host, and joining me this week we have Matty Roper.
Good evening, Nick.
We have Asher Nutting.
Evening, Nick.
And another Davidson, Daniel Gandy.
Evening, Nick.
How are we doing, chaps, right?
Yeah, good.
Not too bad, thanks, Nick. Not too bad at all.
Good to hear it. Right, we'll start off with the home club, and it'll be my club in the Championship as Brighton. A very frustrating afternoon on Saturday, drawing 2-0 at home to Burnley, but a very good game of football, has to be said. Obviously, I'll put it off my biased opinion in a minute, but I don't know if you guys saw the game, but what did you think of it?
Obviously, I didn't watch the game myself, but the result certainly hints that there was a bit of excitement there. Obviously, you probably disappointed as a Brighton fan to concede in the 93rd minute, Nick, I could imagine. Mm. But it sounded like an entertaining game. And on reflection, realistically, although you probably should have held on to the lead that you had, I'm guessing it's probably not a bad point in your eyes?
Yeah, we played very well. I mean, I thought we were actually the better team actually over the whole 90 minutes. There are some appalling decisions, that has to be said. I think Joe Barton should have been given his marching orders on a couple of occasions for stamping on Kyle in the elbow and the lad in the head. So it's just how he gets away with it really makes me sick. But
yeah, I caught the first half of the game and then a bit in the concourse because I obviously went to watch my own team play. And from what I saw, you were the better team by far. I think Kyle absolutely ran that midfield. He exposed Joey Barton a bit. I think Barton's getting on a bit, and Kyle showed that. And Anthony Konocka is a little wizard on that wing. I think he's an absolutely cracking signing. And from what I saw, you were very unlucky against a Burnley side who were playing a few dirty tactics really on the day.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think you've sort of summed it up really well there. And I'm trying to be biased. I mean, it's a good thing we didn't do the show over the weekend because I was absolutely seething. It was so frustrating. It's played really well, and obviously there's no we can't take away. We conceded two absolutely soft goals. We can't blame the ref for that. Because we did defend very poorly, and that's been a problem for us all season, is conceding goals from corners. And again, it's cost us. I mean, Andre Gray, you give him that much time in the area, he's not going to miss. It's just impossible.
Yeah.
And then obviously their tallest lad on the header, their tallest lad has gone and got a goal from a corner. But as I say, we can look at some big decisions that went in the game. Joe Barton, as I say, shouldn't have been on the pitch still.
No.
But then again, they had a goal that was disallowed, which obviously. But begs the question, should there be goal line technology in the Championship?
Exactly, and that is another big question, isn't it? And I think if you look at that, there's been a big argument for it, hasn't there? And I personally think it should be filtered down into all four divisions myself.
Yeah.
But because obviously in the Premier League it does make a huge difference. We've seen that, haven't we? And in the international competitions as well. And yeah, for contentious decisions like that, it just takes a bit of the pressure off the linesmen and the referees, because obviously you're going to have half the stadium claiming it was in, another half absolutely adamant that it wasn't. So it's really, really tough for the officials. Yeah. But
I think when it comes to goal line technology, I think it definitely should be used in the Championship as well, because they say, is it the playoff final in the Championship, the most expensive game in football? I mean, modern football, you want to think there's still some heart in it, but at the end of the day, football nowadays is a business and it is about the money. And I think if you're not using goal line technology, then teams are losing out on big amounts of money. And even in League One, I think was it on Saturday, a poor decision, I think it was to do goal line technology, cost Doncaster, and Darren Ferguson was saying it's they don't understand that these are such big things that teams are playing for nowadays, and it's all about the money.
Yeah, I mean,
I agree more. Sorry, mate, what were you saying?
I agree, but I just think, I think it has now opened up so many things, this goal line technology, because teams have been cost points and teams haven't been given the points they deserve. So I think if they can get it in each league, it will make it so much fairer and easier for referees.
Yeah, I was going to say, there's been so many goals obviously following Coventry for the last few years, there's been a couple of goals that spring up straight away, like the one at Swindon earlier in the season that was 3-4 yards over the line, wasn't given, and that they make a huge difference, decisions like that. And like you say, it evens out a bit, doesn't it? Obviously the game's always going to be open to debate in terms of penalty decisions and fouls and things like that, but I think the goal line technology for me is pretty essential. I don't want any of this replay rubbish where the referee watches it on the big screen like they're doing rugby, or have any referrals or anything like that, but goal line technology for me is needed in the game, and it needs to be in all of the professional divisions.
I think when it comes to all four divisions as well, just adding on to what you said, Matty, Championship definitely, and then League 1, League 2, it has to be an option, because until it's more affordable, I don't think you can bring it in League 1 and 2, because teams aren't going to be able to afford to spend that kind of money. So you make it optional and then try it. Hopefully over the years it becomes more affordable so teams lower down can bring it in, and then that brings in a better standard of football the lower down the divisions you go.
But that's where the league should fund it though, isn't it, really? The league should pay for it realistically. But anyway, that's another debate.
Yeah, no, it's interesting views there, and as I say, I think I think goal line technology in the Championship, say it's the playoff final, is the biggest one that they build it as the most expensive game in football there is. So
yeah, exactly.
That could be it. But other results at the high end of the Championship, we saw a big win for Middlesbrough on Friday night at QPR. Gaston Ramirez with the header, Jordan Rhodes getting a goal. Did you guys see the game on the Friday night? I thought Middlesbrough played pretty well, solid at the back, and obviously he got three goals. Again, there was almost some goal line technology there. I know this one actually did go over the line, and thankfully the linesman did actually give the correct decision. But how do you guys see it? I mean, there was also that big debate where the ball didn't actually go out of play as well.
I've watched a fair bit of Middlesbrough on TV this season. I watched them against Charlton away a couple of weeks ago, and obviously they had all that trouble with Karanka surrounding him, and I just didn't understand it. I think he is the best manager below the Premier League. I think he's a fantastic manager tactically, and I thought Friday night compared to Charlton away, they were back to the Borough that we've known this season, and they put in a cracking performance, and I think they were good value for the 3 points. I think 3-2 did flatter QPR a little bit, if anything.
Yeah, that's the thing, isn't it? It's another win that puts Middlesbrough firmly back into the title race. They're now only 3 points behind Burnley with a game in hand, so it's still wide open for them. And I do think Borough will get automatic promotion, but I think, as we spoke about before, I think we've all said that Burnley probably will go on to win it now with the firepower that got up front. But I do fancy Middlesbrough to get into those automatic spots as well, just purely because, like you were saying a minute ago, how organised they are defensively. Like, I know they scored two goals the other night, but still they've only conceded, I think it's 25 goals this season. So that's the thing, if you can build from the back sort of thing, then you're in with a good chance. You're in there. They are a very, very good side.
I think Middlesbrough, they'd said they've got we say every week on the show, they've got the strength, the depth, and I think they're well on their way for promotion, especially they can get this off the field issues sorted out. Not a big win for Hull, beat Bristol City 4-0. Still kicking away, they're still trying to get in the race. So they're making, obviously they're scoring goals and keeping clean sheets to, well, I don't know, they're on 69 points, so not out of it just yet. So what do you guys think about that?
Well, they've got a game in hand, haven't they? So I mean, if they win that game in hand, they'll only be 4 points behind. I don't think you can rule them out yet, but I think it's really wide open and it could go down to the last day.
Yeah, it's a really tight division, isn't it? You look down the league and realistically probably from first down to fourth could still win the division. Then obviously, speaking about the playoffs as well, which we'll go into in more detail in a second, I'm guessing, anywhere from fifth down to about tenth could probably still nip in the playoffs. So it's wide open. It's a very, very competitive division. I was having an argument with a few people a couple of weeks ago about this. I think it's personally the most competitive division in Europe.
Yeah,
no, I agree. say, I think there's still so many times, and one team that's still in the playoff spots, but for how long is Derby a 2-1 win at Cardiff? Do you guys still think they're going to get a playoff spot? Because I think the way they're going, they're not going to get a playoff spot. But so, what do you guys think?
Personally, I think they might get a playoff spot, but the problem is in the playoffs, they've got some big teams in there. For months, I thought Hull and Middlesbrough were nailed on for automatic promotion, but now I think that top two's sorted. When it comes to the playoffs, though, I think it will stay how it is. But when it comes to a big game situation, I can't see past Sheffield Wednesday, really. I think if it comes down to the playoffs and it's Sheffield Wednesday, Brighton, Hull and Derby, I can't see past Sheffield Wednesday. They've shown what a big team, what a big game team they are in the Capital One Cup this season, and I really do fancy them to go back up.
Yeah, it's funny enough, they're the team I want to avoid in the playoffs. Well, actually, Sheffield Wednesday, we always seem to we never seem to beat them. I mean, we had 2-0 draws to them this season, but they looked very sticky. When we played them, so they looked a very strong team in all areas of the pitch. So yeah, they're actually the team I'm glad someone else agrees with me. They're actually the team I want to avoid as well in the playoffs. Sheffield Wednesday, and obviously they got another big win. They won 1-0 on Saturday. So, and again, it's another sort of grindy out result, really, for them, isn't it? If we go down to the dodgy end of the table, so to speak, a win for Charlton, but is it too little too late? So another bit of another protest on the pitch for them, throwing stress balls on the pitch. What do you guys think about that?
Yeah, I think realistically now, I think you've got to say they probably will drop to League One, haven't you, really, when you look at them? They've only won 8 games this season, not scoring too many, their defence is pretty shoddy. And obviously you've got all the off-field shenanigans hanging around the club as well. I think if they do stay up, it would be a really, really great escape. But I can't see it, unfortunately. I think Fulham are obviously just a few places above them in 21st. I think they're too strong to drop into it. Rotherham have climbed their way out. And I think it will be the three that are down there now. So MK Dons, Charlton and Bolton that will be dropping, I think.
Yeah, I agree with you, Matty. I'd say Charlton and Bolton are pretty nailed on. I think Neil Warnock's got Rotherham out of trouble, and I think they'll stay up now. I think Fulham aren't safe yet, but I just think we've said this before. Fulham up front, whoever they got, they've got McCormack and Dembele, who have got however many goals between them. Where are those goals going to come from with MK Dons? That's the problem. Who is going to score the goals that's going to keep them in the Championship?
Exactly. That's the thing, isn't it, with Fulham? They've scored 59 goals, which is, it's more than Derby are in 6th, it's more than Hull are in 4th, it's more than Brighton are in 3rd, more than Borough in 2nd. So they've got goals in them. It's just at the back where they've had a bit of trouble.
Yeah.
No, their goal difference is far superior as well. But -6, whereas the teams below them are all more than -20.
Yeah.
Charlton and Bolton are actually more than -30. So, no, I think in regards to Charlton, I think it is. It's too much. It's too much now. I think that win, too little, too late, really.
Yeah. They're Bolton as well. But yeah, Fulham and Codon's big game. I think, yeah, so Fulham and McCormack and Dembele, that should be enough to really keep Fulham up. And I think the Neil Warnock revival, though, really does continue again. I mean, Rotherham, another win for them in the Yorkshire Derby against Leeds. So what do you guys think about that? So he's doing an incredible job there, isn't he?
Yeah, he's an impressive manager, without a doubt. He's a very good manager. I mean, he's got that aggression about him that will fire players up. I'll like him, I'll do. He's a very good manager.
Everyone's really enjoying it there as well, don't they?
Yeah, I was going to say, we were speaking the other week, weren't we, Nick, when Vince Allaire was on about Rotherham.
Yeah, that's correct.
Saying that, about Leon Best and players like that.
Yeah.
They've shown they've got the quality previously, but need a bit of a kick in the right direction, a bit of motivation. And he's gone into Rotherham, and he has. He's quite united the group, and they're all working for each other, and it's paying off, isn't it? The results they've picked up recently, they've gone from looking like certs to go down to a team that I certainly wouldn't bet on them going down now. I think they're pretty much safe unless the teams below them somehow pull off a miracle and they go back into a bit of a blip. But no, Warnock's been absolutely incredible, really, and it's a testament to him and his players.
Yeah, Matt, I'd agree. I think if you're at the bottom of the Championship, you're in a relegation scrap and you need to stay up. Literally, there is one man for the job, and Rotherham got him in. he gets results in that league, and he just knows it off the back of his hand. And I think there was a few eyebrows raised when he joined the club, because he's been at a few other clubs in South Yorkshire and around Yorkshire in general. They made the perfect, managerial employment, and that's paid dividends for him. And I think they're going to stay in that division because of that.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think it's looking like it's going to be the three that it already is there: MK Dons, Charlton, and Bolton. But so still 7 games to go, or whatever. There's a lot of football to be played. Now moving on to League One, we've got a couple of home clubs here. We've got obviously a new lad on the show, Asher, Bradford City, his home club. How'd you get on over the weekend then, Ash?
Yeah, we managed a 1-0 win at home to Scunthorpe. That's over Easter. 3 games, 3 goals, 9 points.
Fantastic. That's what you want to say. Really chasing the playoffs. So feel confident about getting a playoff spot?
I do now, yeah. A few months ago, if you would have asked me the same question, I would have laughed at you, because we had the likes of Peterborough and Coventry ahead of us. But now, after our recent run of form, I think, yeah, I really do feel confident that we can sneak into that 5th or 6th spot in the playoffs.
And Matty, Coventry, how'd you get on over the weekend, mate?
Very entertaining 0-0 draw away at the scaffolded stand. But if I'm honest with you, in terms of our own performance, we've been really, really poor recently, as everybody knows. I think we've slipped right out of the playoff hunt. We've gone from looking like potential league winners to a team that could end up finishing 16th, 17th if our form continues. But our performance on Saturday was really encouraging, if I'm honest with you. We restricted Gillingham, who are one of the top scorers in the league, to very little chances. I can't remember Reece Charles Cook being tested at all throughout the 90 minutes. And we hit the crossbar twice, and we should have won the game, really. We should have came away with 3 points, which, again, we're in the position we're in now, 9 points off playoffs. It wouldn't have particularly been too important, but it would have been nice to win that game. And I think that it kind of sums up our luck as well as how poor we have been recently. We haven't had luck on our side either. I know you can't blame that for the results, but there is certain moments in a game that perhaps haven't gone our way.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I say, I think it's well, the playoffs. I say the playoff race really is indeed on. I mean, I think Millwall are looking very strong going into it. They had a 0-0 draw, I believe, on Saturday. And at the top of the league, Wigan now top of the league over Burton Albion. What do you guys think about that?
Don't surprise me, to be honest. I mean, Burton have been poor recently, and Wigan are free scoring at the minute. They can't stop it in the net. They put four past Swindon and 5 past Shrewsbury. I just think they'll go on and win the league now with these.
Yeah, I agree. Like, Wigan, top scorers in the league with 70 goals and free-flowing football, and they just seem unstoppable at the minute. It's just a shame that we're playing them this weekend. I don't particularly want to face them at the minute with the confidence they're in and things like that. But no, I think in regards to Burton, despite them dropping from first place, regardless of where they finish now, they deserve huge credit. Sorry, the way the players fight for each other, because let's face it, they're probably not the most technically gifted side in the division. They haven't got the biggest name stars in the league, but they've kept up there all season. Defensively, they've been absolutely solid, the best defence in the league, so credit to them. I've been to watch them a few times this season, and they perhaps don't play the most attractive football in the world, but at the end of the day, they grind out results, don't they? And I think they will end up getting automatic promotion, but I do think Wigan will go on to win the league now.
Yeah, I think the title's Wigan's now. It's theirs to lose. In terms of that second spot, I think Burton will keep it, but I can see one of any of the next 2 or 3. I can see us, if we carry on with our form, Bradford, I think we could catch him. I wouldn't put him past Walsall, but I think that top two is decided now, pretty much. I think Burton have just got too many points on the teams below him to mess it up even more now.
Absolutely, I agree with that. So I think Burton, though, still be a fantastic achievement them getting promoted. But yeah, I think we're going to say they're really showing what we expected of them, really, because it was such a shock for them getting relegated in the first place. So
yeah,
it's almost I think it's Burton. You never know; they could still win the league. But say even second place, I think would be a fantastic finish for them. Sheffield United, big 2-0 win over Walsall this weekend. Walsall still in third. Sheffield United now, they are now 8 points behind Mill. Do you think they've got a chance at the playoff spot, or do you think it's really from Barnsley upwards, really? Because Barnsley is 7th on 62, Mill is 6th on 66. Do you think it's starting to look like it's almost like the line's been drawn on who can get there and who can't?
Well, if I'm honest with you, sorry, Asher.
No, you go.
As you said a minute ago, Nick, there's still six games to go, or seven in some teams' case, and that's a lot of points to play for. Still 18 points to play for. Sheffield United, again, they're another team that I've watched quite a bit this season since I've been living up in Sheffield, and obviously when Coventry aren't playing, I've been to watch them a few times, and They're a really, really odd side. Again, they don't play the best football. Their fans are frustrated, and rightly so, because they were expected to win the league at the start of the season by many.
Definitely.
I don't know, to be honest with you. It's really difficult to call, isn't it? If I'm honest, I'd probably say the top six teams will all finish in the top six. I can't see Barnsley getting in there, or anyone below them. But it's still open, isn't it? Who knows? Even with us, obviously, I'm downbeat at the minute, and our season's pretty much gone. I think we need to start realising that. But as the old cliche goes, football is a funny old game, and any of the teams around us or just above us could go on to win their final six and end up finishing way in the playoffs. It's just it's still open, isn't it? But I think it will be a tough task.
Yeah, I think realistically, if you're thinking with your head, I think Sheffield United, they've left it too late this season. But yes. Me and a few friends have said, you never write off Sheffield United. Any team with as big a fan base as theirs and as higher expectations as they've got, you just can't write them off until the very last whistle. And any team in this league with Billy Sharp up front still has a chance. 8 points can shorten to 5 very fast, and then to 2. And before you know it, they're 2 points of the playoffs, and I just don't think you can write as big a club as Sheffield United with Nigel Adkins in charge. You can't write them off yet.
No, absolutely. No, I agree. So there's still a lot of football to be played. At the bottom end of the table, we do go on about a lot of football to play, but I think it's really looking like curtains for Crewe Alexander. I mean, a 3-0 defeat at Peterborough on Saturday, and they're now 12 points below Fleetwood, who are in 20th. Time's probably up for them, isn't it?
Yeah. I think Crewe have been gone for a few weeks now. It surprised me because I watched them just last week when Bradford went there and beat them, and they do play some very nice football, but I think that's one of their main problems. I think they've got a young squad. They've got Davies in charge, and he wants to instil this nice brand of football into the club. And I think the problem is, when push comes to shove, they're too scared to just knock it up top towards a big man or play it dirty for the sake of getting points. And I think in a league like League One, where the standard is pretty poor and it's full of big brutes of centre backs who will kick you into the ground, I think sometimes you have to be able to just play it dirty just for the sake of getting the points.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
Go on, Danny.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, every time I see them come up on a Saturday, they just seem to get beat, and they're just so poor. I just don't know why. But they've been flirting with relegation for seasons now, haven't they? And it's just been a matter of time before it's happened.
Yeah, in regards to what you said, Asher, about them trying to play pretty football, it's testament to them, really, that they want to embed that into their players. But I think there's a similar situation with us in a way. I know we're not in a relegation scrap, we're not sitting at the front of the table like they are, but I think the inability for us to have a plan B at times this season has worked against us. I think teams have kind of worked us out how we were playing earlier in the season when we were on that tantalising run, and it's really difficult for us to fashion as many chances. And Crewe, similarly to us, I think that's probably what's happened with them, although obviously that their quality isn't as good as ours in terms of the players they've got there, so there wasn't particularly too much to work out at the start of the season, if I'm honest with you there. They are a pretty poor side, and yeah, I think this would be the season where they will drop, and there's quite a few things going on there that haven't helped. I think their academy system, that's renowned for bringing through young talent, hasn't perhaps been so successful lately, and that obviously then leads them to not being able to sell those players on, and so finances have been a bit of a problem this season for them, and it's difficult to see, if I'm honest with you, when they go down to League 2, because I think it's the inevitable now. I don't think it'd be easy for them to get back up at all.
Yeah, I just to quickly add on before we move on to what Matty said, I think they've got this renowned youth academy. Colclough, he's gone on to Wigan, many other players have made it, but the problem is, no matter how good your youth academy is, in League 1 and 2 you need at least half your squad to be experienced players who know those leagues. You can't survive in those leagues purely for your youngsters, and we go back to that famous saying from Alan Hansen, you can't win anything with kids, and he was proved wrong. But genuinely, in League 1 and 2, I do agree with that, and I think you do need experienced heads to add something to the squad.
Yeah, absolutely. I think you guys have done sort of analysed that very well. But another team that's not given up is Colchester United. They drew 0-0 with Millwall on Saturday. They're now only 7 points behind Fleetwood in 20th. Are they giving themselves a hope?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, they're unbeaten in 3 now. They didn't get beat by a pretty impressive Millwall team. So if they keep going at it, they might just get out of it. They've done it before, and they can do it again if they keep going.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I was just going to say, it's difficult, isn't it? Again, it's very faint hope. I think a lot of the Hughes fans would probably be thinking that relegation is beckoning now. I think it's maybe too big of a gap to bridge, especially with Fleetwood having one game in hand and Oldham having two. But I think if they can finish the season in the same sort of vein as they played over the last few games, at least they'll restore a bit of pride, and that could be the momentum that springs a promotion surge in League 2, ready to bounce back into League 1 next season, because personally I do think they will be getting the drop now. Obviously, like we've spoke about before, it's just defensively they've improved slightly recently, but conceding 87 goals, you deserve to go down at the end of the day regardless of what you're doing up the other end of the pitch if you ship 87 goals in 40 games.
Their defence has been something we've mentioned quite a lot on this show.
they're a strange one at Colchester for me, because you can compare them to Crewe in some ways, but in another way I think they've got a great balance there. They've got the likes of George Moncur, he's a class young player, but yeah, then they've also got an older head in, say, someone like Darren Ambrose, and so they've got a good balance, and I think realistically they are gone, but I think when it comes to that relegation battle, I can definitely see Fleetwood dropping down. I've seen Fleetwood a few times this season and they are really, really poor, and I just don't know where their gold's going to come from. So I think realistically, obviously Colchester and Crewe and Doncaster are gone, but I wouldn't put it past Colchester.
I think personally, out of the bottom four at the minute, Oldham would be the team to stay up. I went to watch them against Burton the other week, and they played quite well, held their own well, and probably deserved to nick the game if anyone was going to win it. So I think, like you say, they've got two games in hand as well on quite a lot of teams above them. And now I think Oldham would be the team to get out of it. And like you say, I could probably see Fleetwood dropping into there, but now I think Colchester pretty much done for now.
Yeah, Doncaster are very, very poor as well.
Yeah, they're fine.
I was going to say, big win for Blackpool, 2-0 win at home to Southend. Well, they're giving themselves a bit of hope, really, aren't they? They're out of the relegation, up to 19th. I said about a month ago, or a few weeks ago, we're saying that they look dead and buried.
They should stay up really now, but the only thing they've got against them is teams have got games in hand on them, and if they start picking up points, will they start to drop down again? But they beat an impressive Southend side, who beat Sheffield United the other night, which I watched, and I thought Southend played really well, so I was surprised that they Blackpool beat them.
Yeah, it's the old notion of you'd rather have points on the board, though, isn't it, at the minute, I think, for Blackpool. Obviously, with games in hand, fair enough, you'd look at that and think, you'd be optimistic and say, oh, if we won all those games then, but there's a lot of pressure with those games in hand, as we've found out this season as well, with a couple of our games, where we've had a chance to get back into the playoffs and blown it, because pressure undoubtedly does tell, especially when you're down that end of the league. And as we were saying a minute ago, with perhaps some of the teams that haven't got as many experienced heads in there, it's not a foregone conclusion that they're going to win them. So, but no, Blackpool are giving them chance, giving themselves a big chance of staying up. And I tipped them to finish, I think it was 19th or 20th before the season started, actually. But I also finished Burton to just stay up as well, so just scrap that. But no, I think, if I'm honest with you, I'd like Blackpool to stay up. Purely because of the stuff that's going on off the field, but in a way, it might even be better for them to drop down again to try and rebuild. But it's difficult, isn't it? But
yeah, I think
if they do stay up, they've got to go. A lot of credit's got to go to their manager, hasn't he? For sort of always the players put. Obviously, their pitch is still terrible, and the fans obviously they're not getting in their numbers to get behind them. And support, because obviously their fans are rightfully and all the club's been run. So I think the manager deserves a lot of credit there for obviously getting the players to focus on getting the job done and getting the results to keep them in the division.
Yeah, I agree. And in terms of their pitch, when we played there the other week, there's probably more sand on their pitch than on Blackpool Beach. like you said, they're grinding out results, and no, I do wish them the best, because we know what it's like. You know at Brighton what it's like. Villa know what it's like now with Daniel, obviously.
I do.
Being the Villa supporter, it's not good going through turmoil, and obviously, realistically, you'll probably want them to stay up.
Yeah. I think they will stay up now, and I think they've got some good quality there. But like you say, with the troubles, you know it's like a Coventry. I think it's settled down for now, but I think that's the problem. At any point, that can boil over again with Oyston, and once that gets in the heads of the players, that can affect the morale on the pitch. So hopefully that simmers down until the end of the season now, but that's the problem. They've got that, the other clubs around them don't.
Moving on to League 2, and it's incredibly tight at the top there, with a massive win for Bristol Rovers, who beat Crawley Town 3-0, but say Oxford United second on 73, and then Rovers on 71, Plymouth on 71, and Akron and Stanley on 71. Bristol Rovers say they're up to third with that win over Crawley, and how it's just very exciting, isn't it?
Yeah, anyway. I mean, it's been pretty exciting, that division. I mean, one team wins one week and then they're back in the race, and then one team will lose and they're in the race. It's crazy. But I think the fact that Bristol Rovers won and Plymouth and Accrington dropped points was massive for them.
Yeah.
It is very, very tight, isn't it? I think my opinion on who's going to get automatic promotion alongside Northampton keeps changing every week. It's ridiculous that you can't roll out Portsmouth to slip into the top three. They're only 5 points off third with a game in hand.
Yeah.
Obviously, they picked up a 1-0 win against Carlisle, and it is wide open. I think Northampton, obviously, they could win the league if they win their next fixture. Oxford United, I think we're talking about the Johnstone Paint Trophy final later on, but they looked impressive in that, and if their performance is like that in the league for the rest of the season, I can see them definitely going up as well. But then in terms of that third spot, it is wide, wide open. I've told you before, Nick, on the show, I think you agreed as well that you'd like Plymouth to go up, but Bristol Rovers, if they do manage to get automatic promotion, then that's a huge credit to them.
Yeah, it is. As I say, from to back-to-back promotions.
Just to add on to that discussion on the automatic promotion, obviously Northampton are done. I think Oxford will join them, definitely. I think then it's between the three teams below them, and I think out of those three teams, the one with the most quality is Plymouth. And then after that, I wouldn't ever write off Accrington Stanley. I think at that club at the moment, there's such a buzz. I've seen a few things on TV on the likes of Football Focus and Sky Sports about them. There is just a massive buzz around that club. They don't have the best squad. They don't have the the most money or anything like that, nothing at all. They've just got such a great spirit, and I think that goes a very long way in the lower divisions.
And with the playoff race, it's sort of 5 points separating Wickham all the way down to Cambridge in the top half and 12th. Wickham are currently in the playoff spots on 7th on 61. So what an exciting lead this is, everything sort of all to play for. And so Wickham did lose 2-1 at home to AFC Wimbledon in a big game, and Wimbledon, that gives them a chance of getting the playoff spots as well. So what do you guys think about that?
Yeah, it is, it's ridiculously exciting, isn't it? And this is why I love lower league football, obviously.
I love it.
I'd like Coventry to be in a higher division, preferably the Championship or the Premier League, but you can't deny that lower league football is bloody entertaining. And that's why at the weekend I had the selection of watching the Premier League games or the Johnson's Paint Trophy final, and I elected for the Johnson's Paint final because in my opinion it's just a truer game. It really is, in my opinion. But no, in terms of that seventh spot, I think if you look in terms of quality, I think Wickham, Leighton Orient and Wimbledon are probably the three teams that have got the most quality, but it's so hard to call. Like you say, Cambridge all the way down in 12th could still nip in there. Carlisle in 11th have got a game in hand on the teams above them, and it's you just can't predict it, can you? You can't predict it. There's, and like I said earlier, there's plenty of games to play. I'll tell you what, we'll predict it when there's 45 been played.
Yeah, that seventh spot, I think the favourites of that would be Wickham, obviously, who sit there, and I think Gareth Ainsworth's done a cracking job there. But then after that, you'd say I think I'd have to go Wimbledon if it's not going to be Wickham. They're a similar situation to Accrington Stanley. I think they're a smaller club, but they've got a great spirit, and I wouldn't write them off for that seventh place finish.
They got Exeter as well, who had a massive derby win at home to running up Plymouth, as we mentioned before, 2-1. So no derby win obviously can give the whole football club a massive boost there in 10th. So it really is just incredibly exciting.
Yeah.
At the dodgy end of the table then, Stevenage 1-0 win at Luton. Could that be the most crucial penalty Michael Tong has scored in his career? Might have potentially kept Stevenage in the Football League.
Yeah, I'll probably agree with that. I mean, Dagenham and Redbridge and York City are about gone now, so them winning that has probably just secured the safety for League Two again next season.
Yeah, I think it probably is. It's a massive, massive goal for him and the club, isn't it? They're now 9 points above York with played a game less as well. So I think that's pretty much done and dusted for them now. I think we spoke about Dagenham and Redbridge before. Obviously, it's not particularly too nice to see them go down, but they are a conference size sort of club. And that's no disrespect to them in any way.
Yeah.
And York as well. I think they've been teetering on the edge all season, haven't they? Again, shocking defence, really. 75 goals conceded, nearly as bad as Colchester, but not quite. And now I think the bottom two is wrapped up there, I think. And credit to Stevenage for securing their League Two status. Well, in hindsight, recording their League Two status.
Yeah, I think it's been I think it's been done and dusted for a few weeks, to be honest. Dagenham and Redbridge are down, and I think from what I've heard, I know a few people who have seen York, and from what I've heard, they've been pretty shambolic this season. They've conceded the most goals in the league, and Dagenham and Redbridge have scored the least, so I think kind of the stats don't lie, and I think those two will be gone and Stevenage will stay in the Football League.
And a final word review of the weekend was the, as we've mentioned it, the Johnson's Paint Trophy final between Barnes and Oxford. What do you guys actually think of the Johnson's Paint Trophy as a whole? Do you think it's a competition that shouldn't really necessarily be there, or do you think it's a fantastic chance for the lower clubs to go to Wembley and have a day out there?
I think in my opinion, you've summed it up there. It is. It's a really good competition for the lower league clubs to get that day out at Wembley. And although a few of the teams perhaps don't take it that seriously, really, it is a good tournament. And I think the final at the weekend was a good advert for the Football League. I thought it was a superb game between two decent footballing sides. And now I think it's good. And the idea of these Premier League under 21 sides or whatever it was joining into it, that's a disgrace in my opinion. I don't think that should happen. That'll take the slight magic that it perhaps has out of it. And no, I think it's a good competition myself.
Yeah, I've always enjoyed it as a competition, and I've heard so many people who just, it's obviously described as the Mickey Mouse Cup, but I really do like its competition, and it's a chance, if anything, because you've got League 1 and 2 teams, it's a chance for the League 2 teams to show what they can do, and Oxford showed that on Sunday. They might not have come out as the winners, but they matched Barnsley on the day, and it shows that the League 2 clubs, there is quality down there, and they can play some good football.
Yeah, no, it's good. So I think it's when I was looking at Brighton in League 1, I really enjoyed it. I thought it was no, it didn't really necessarily get the big crowds in, but I enjoyed it, and as I say, a chance of going to Wembley. And yeah, I mean, usually I do try and watch the final. I mean, this Saturday, so I was actually watching I shouldn't really say it on this show because we're a football show, but I was actually watching the cricket, but so I kind of say it's a good competition. And obviously, one thing I've always found is obviously it does generate a good attacking game, so 3-2, because what team's got to lose? It's if you go out, you go out. If you want to win, you win. And also, I like the thing because there's no extra time in it as well. Go straight to penalties.
Yeah, that's what I think as well. The penalty shootout straight after the 90, especially when you're stuck in Leighton Orient, you know, after a ball 0-0, we just want to get it over and done with, don't you? Well, this season we played Yeovil away, which isn't the shortest of journeys, and that was a 0-0. An extra time would have killed us, I think. So it just put us out of our misery, I think, really. But no, it is a great competition, and like you were saying then about the attacking kind of football, as with any cup game, it's like that. And again, going back to the final, The amount of end-to-end stuff was phenomenal, really. You couldn't take your eyes off. Obviously, I was watching it on TV. You couldn't take your eyes off the screen. You just didn't know what was going to happen. No, it's a credit to the teams involved, really. I thought Oxford and Barnsley put on a good show.
Well, I'd say Barnsley, they're winning the John Spoh Trophy, and they're obviously in a healthy league position as well. Do you think this could help Barnsley's push for getting for getting promotion or getting a playoff spot in League One, or do you think it could even hinder it? And same really for Oxford. Do you reckon it could hinder their obviously Wembley's no place for losers. Do you think it could hinder their chance of getting automatic, or do you think they might really want to prove the go? They want to sort of make up for it by not going back to Wembley.
Yeah, I'd really hope that it doesn't spur Barnsley on, to be honest, as a Bradford fan. But I think a win at Wembley just does wonders to a club, and there'll be such a great feel around that club now, and we do have to be very wary of Barnsley. And I think it can go two ways for Oxford. They can either get low on confidence now and slip down into playoffs, or they can bounce back and be spurred on. I think the benefit was that they were underdogs on that day, and they went there as the underdogs, and so they can hold their heads high. They've had the day out, and they've come runner up in a competition with all League One clubs in it, and so I don't think they should hang their heads in shame, and hopefully they will get automatic promotion.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah,
agree.
I think as well.
Go on, Matty.
Oh yeah, right. I think in terms of Oxford, obviously they won't want to be going to Wembley again because they'll want to secure automatic promotion, as we've just said. But Barnsley, I think once you've had that taste of success at the National Stadium, that's an incentive to go and do it again, isn't it? So I think that's got to galvanise them now. They've been in great form anyway recently, and if that's not the kick that really pushes them on now, then I don't know what else could be. Because to go there to play at that stadium twice in a season and potentially win silverware on two occasions is a real, real good a mouthwatering prospect, really, isn't it, for any side? So I think it could be the catalyst now to really see them kick on.
Yeah, I mean,
what were you going to say, Danny?
I think you've got to be impressed with Barnsley, considering they lost Lee Johnson and Paul Heckingbottom come in. He's done a fantastic job in getting them nearly in a playoff spot, and he's won them silverware this season. It's pretty impressive.
Discussion with the show. We've obviously got a list in the championship tomorrow night. The pick of the game for me really is I did it a second ago. Well, obviously my home club Brighton is Birmingham, but the actual big game I'm going for is Derby against Hull. Derby obviously first spot, Derby in sixth Hull in fourth. Which way do we see this one going, guys?
I think Derby look a different team recently, but they're just so unpredictable. I think one week they look like they should be top of the league, the next week they look like they're an absolute shambles. I think Hull will go there and they'll play a typical away performance, and I reckon they'll nick it, say 1-2-0 there at Derby.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't really know. I think Derby at home aren't too shabby. I think I'm going to go for a draw. I reckon 1-1. But if I was going to choose any team to nick it, then it would have to be Hull. Obviously, I think
they are
the better side with the better quality players, and they'll be in more confident mood, won't they, as well? So, but no, I'm going to say a draw, but I wouldn't be confident betting on it, for example.
Yeah, I wouldn't bet on it myself either. I wouldn't back Hull.
Yep, I think that will do us for this evening. Unless you guys have got any other things you want to discuss.
No,
that's about it.
I think we've summed it up well. Yeah.
Well, big thank you to Asher and Dan for making their debuts on the show tonight. We did there were some technical issues. We couldn't get Paul Thirlwell on, but we're hoping to get him on either next week or even before that with a B2 exclusive interview with the former Carlisle and Sunderland player. But for me, it's good night, and good night from everyone else.
Cheers.
Brilliant.
Well, Danny, did that all record okay?
Yeah.